which is what you got when you voted for me, by the way. Now, that is a diet soda, right? And you're all familiar with diet soda, right? Many of you drink it, many of you don't. Many of you could tell me why it's evil. Many of you could tell me why you shouldn't have it. And I could tell you why it's delicious and why I do it anyway. And we could sit there and we could argue till we're blue in the face, one of us wanting to be a good guy, one of us wanting to be a bad guy, and both of us just sharing hot air and wasting time. What I want to talk about tonight is a practice that is very prevalent in some churches, but not in others. And full disclosure, I have no idea if it's ever been an effect of anybody here in our church. But I'll guarantee you that it has been something that has affected my life once or twice. Not so much in a negative way, but it is something that can wreak havoc into a church if performed improperly inside of the church. So what I want us to focus on in this is a ridiculous illustration, but I'm good at ridiculous illustrations. While we can sit here and argue whether this is good or bad, right? If I were to take a look at this, spin it around, and I'd rather read Chronicles. As much as we could go through and we could pull through the ingredients and we could list the things. And if I could tell you chemically, I can't, Danielle can. If I brought Danielle and she could explain to you the biology of these things and what they do to your body, right? We would sit there, we would say, yes, this is either good or no, this is bad. I would hope under no circumstances would you ever look at me and say, oh, brother, you're evil for having one of those. Oh, brother, because you've shown us that, you've done something awful and horrible. All right, what we're talking about tonight, and I'm going to put my lunch away. What we're talking about tonight is multi-level marketing. Now, what that is, and we'll kind of get into a working definition here, what that is business where I can sell a product and earn a heavy referral off of referring people into the company. Now, we all know the names of these things, right? And we all know people who participated in them. My family has participated in them on varying different levels. I was almost recruited into one, and then somebody grabbed a hold of me and explained to me what it was, and I got out. You guys know what Cutco is, right? Selling the knives. I made it through the first interview, and then the very start of the second interview, they pulled me back, and they said, now, I can't remember if they called me Mark or if they called me Mike. So take that however you want. But they said, Mark, Mike, whatever they called me, but wasn't Matt, you're hired. Oh, no, no, there must be a misunderstanding. I'm Matt. Oh, yeah, we're hiring you too. And I go, how weird. And I thought that was weird enough. I called a friend. I said, you won't believe it. Then I told him the story. Like, he thought he was talking to somebody else, but it turned out I was hot. I went on a whole roller coaster. Then I said, Matt, we got to tell you something. And they explained to me how that works, where if you have a pulse and you have people in your life, you're hired. Now, that's the way Cutco works, but there's many others. Mary Kay, you purchase product and sell it. Some insurance companies, I work under a subsidiary. I actually went and applied at an insurance company that did this, heard them laughing about how one of their salesmen wrote their father's life insurance policy wrong and how they weren't going to pay it out, and they thought that was hilarious. And I got myself right on out of there. So there's a few different instances of this, and we all know the big names. There have been documentaries and things like that in the last little bit. But what's bothered me about this is the prevalence of it among Christians. And there's a reason for that. The reason for that is this. It sounds really good. It does. It sounds amazing. That I have the ability to work from home, be a blessing to my family, and help others with this business opportunity to also have financial freedom. And it's wonderful, and it's good, and it's golden. But there's some problems. And what I want to do is I want to look at these problems. Right? Now again, I want to reiterate. I love people who are in multi-level marketing. There are going to be people in my family, if they hear this, are going to be cross with me for a little while. But I love them. They're dear to my heart. Right? Again, it's not like other sins where to participate in it means there's a problem right here. There's a good sale for this. You understand? It's tempting. And to anybody with a Christian mindset of how a Christian family works, it's tempting. So again, we're not going to talk about the people that are in it, but we are going to talk about it clinically, right? Again, think of the can of soda. If looking at this, and I sum it up in all of its parts, should I participate in this? Should I put this in my body? That's the question. The question is not, do I love people? The question is not, do the people in it have any merit? The question is not whether I should see my friends, family, and relatives as though they're good people or bad people. No, that's not the point. We're going to look at it and ask the question, should a Christian participate in this, right? Should I go out and participate in something like this? Turn your Bibles, go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 11. 1 Thessalonians 4, 11. It's a passage we've preached out on already in the last year, but we're going to do it again. And that ye study to be quiet and do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without and that ye may have lack of nothing. Now, we pull that apart. That sums up a pretty decent Christian life from day to day. That I study, that my level of study leads me to a quietness of understanding, of not prattling like the fool does, that I work in my own business, and that I work with my own hands, and that we do so as commanded through Scripture. Verse 12, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. Now, to first start off, we must take a quick little glance through what a business is. Now, some of you, you have businesses. You've worked in businesses. Some of you are owned or you've started your own business. Some of you have side businesses. And you know what? The basic premise of a business comes down to two different ways. Three, really. One, either you are creating a product to sell, or you are organizing a product to sell, or you are selling a service. Right, so for instance, you know, the Eckleberries, they'll do flowers. They grow the flowers, they sell the flowers. That is a business, right? Brother Dwayne, he provides a service. The business provides a service, and that's it. If I were to need flowers for something, I could go to the Eckleberries. If I need a pet, peacock, I go to the Gunnels. And if I stick a fork inside of an electrical socket, I go to Brother Dwayne. Right? And what I ask for is what I get, right? So they are creating a product or a service. Then there's the organizing of a product, which would be more of a sales kind of a perspective, right? If I were to go down to Meijer, they wrangle together many brands and many products, and they are a depot for us to go to go purchase those items and walk home with them. Now, a franchise is a completely different thing, and I am being as basic as possible here, but a franchise is a different kind of an idea where I rent a brand, right? If I were to have a McDonald's, I worked in McDonald's, and the guy that I worked for owned four or five different McDonald's. And what he did is he paid rental for that brand. Everything he purchased for those stores came from the McDonald's corporate office. So the burgers, the buns, the product, the machinery, all of that came from them. So he was renting the name, buying the products from them, selling it, and then whatever came off the top, he got. That is a franchise. It partly belongs to him, but the majority of the product is either rented or purchased from a bigger store. So that's a franchise. Well, what's a multi-level marketing or network marketing organization? That would be something more along the lines of buying the selling rights to a thing. Right? So for instance, if I were to start a multi-level marketing corporation and I'm selling mugs, right? And I'm selling these mugs and I'd go and I would have this nice little this nice little website maybe. You go, you see my seven or eight different types of coffee mugs, and maybe I've got some ground coffee on there and some whole bean coffee on there, and you're looking at all that stuff, you go, oh boy, that's nice. Right? I am selling those products. Now, Sister Glenda, she's buying my products on a regular basis. She's being supportive. She's being nice. And she's buying. Hey, Sister Glenda, listen, I got an idea. If you buy 3 or 4 cases of these cups, I'll hook you up with a login on the website. And what you can do is you sell these cups. You give me $10. You sell them for $20, you keep $10, and we're good. Right? That'd be the basic premise of a starting off, where now I've referred her. And then all of a sudden she goes, hey, you know, Brother Roland, I've got some friends. They're really into this buying thing. Things are really taking off. They also want to do that. I said, perfect. Here's what you're going to do. You're going to set up the same thing with them, same logins, all that stuff. We'll get them their own stuff, but I'll give you a cut of their business. So when they buy in at 4 or 5 cases of my mugs, or as they sell products from my website, you'll get a cut of everything they sell. And tell them that I'll do the same for their friends. Now here's the thing, Sister Glenda, she's making a significant amount of money off of commissions. You following me? Now as that builds up and she gets more people, she makes more money. Well, here's the problem. What if that person is Sister Mary? And Sister Mary, she's also buying in. And who are we selling to? Well, we're selling to our friends right here at church. Well, after a while, y'all are sick and tired of my mugs. Well, sales drop. Well, now she's got to go. She's got to resort to hanging out over at Kroger and Target, catching people in the mug department, seeing if they want to buy into this thing. Right, so there are some issues. So basically, you've got a structure that's based on commissions, and you tend to make more on commissions than you do product sales. So that's by basic definition of these things and what the very basic, again, very, very basic differences in them are. Well, what could be wrong with it? That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? My business flourishes. I get to go to Cancun and sit on the beach. Well, all my friends, family, and relatives sell these mugs and sell their friends and family on selling these mugs. You follow? That sounds wonderful. And if it's Sister Danielle, well, she could do that while she's homeschooling. And she can do that, and we'd have a lot more time and a lot more freedom, and everything would be wonderful. What's the drawback? Well, let's look at a few of the drawbacks. Whenever I participate in anything, I have to ask the first question of this: is there anything inherently sinful about whatever I take part in? Whether it's whether I'm going to go to a particular restaurant, whether I'm going to go to a certain place, whether I'm going to do a particular thing, is there anything inherently sinful that I must be aware of? Well, the second question we got to ask then is, do I have to lie to conduct business? That'd be a good question, right? I've talked about this often with my business. Whenever you're in sales, the question of lying or bending the truth a little bit. Or I like this one. Sometimes you got to pitch things in just a certain way to get people out of their own way, which basically means you've got to spin them around enough to where they don't know what's going on. Is what that means. Now, if you're ever in a sales position and you're in a sales meeting, don't ever say that unless you want to get scowled at. But if you're me, I can't tell, so it's fine. One of the things that they'll tell you in these businesses, you will be your own boss. And you'll sign in and you'll realize that you've got a meeting with the person that signed you up. So I tell Sister Glenda, Glenda, is okay if I pick on you? It's too late. It's already happening. But so if I tell Sister Glenda, you'll be your own boss. This is your business. She goes, all right. I go, you got to put money into your own business. She says, yes. Of course, every business out there, you got to put a little bit of money in there, right? You got to buy product to sell product. Duh. Every business knows that, right? But then I'm like, all right, Sister, every Thursday morning at 7 a.m., I need you on a Zoom call with me where I tell you what the rules are for selling the product, where I push you and tell you you're not selling enough of the product, and I make you feel bad, and I bait you to sell more product, basically where I'm sitting there supervising your sales quota. Now, is that the definition of of being your own boss? No, not at all. If I owned a business, I'm not on a Zoom call with anybody telling me how to manipulate my business line to make more money. Why? Because I'm the boss, right? Brother Gunnels, you don't wake up on a Monday morning, get online with somebody who's over you telling you how to run your business. Maybe the wife. but as far as somebody else, you don't, right? Most business owners that I know of, they answer to the government and that's it. So is it honest to say that you're operating and owning your own business? It's not. Because you're still answering to the people who own the product. Can you, as a business owner, control the product? No. As a matter of fact, LuLaRoe, a very famous and popular one among some Christians, were selling stockings that were, I think they were stockings or pants or something like that. The product dipped. And they went to go complain about it, and they said, no, you're being overly negative, and you're never going to sell things if you're being overly negative. Meanwhile, there's videos online of people putting their hand through these pants, or whatever they're called, and just tearing and ripping and falling apart. Now, as a business owner, you should be able to sit there and say, I'm not buying from that company anymore. Do you have that right under a multi-level marketing? No. If I find out that some of the products that I'm selling in whatever company, whether it's a mystery powder health drink or a essential oil company, can I sit there and say this is causing problems and I'm going to switch that in these? No, you can't. Why? Because you buy directly from them. Right? If I were running in a restaurant and somebody was selling me bad meat, I have the freedom to switch suppliers. So are you the boss? No. All those decisions are being made by the people over you. Are you a franchise? No, because you only have the profit that they say you can have. And again, your real main source of profit is coming from those that you've referred. Right? So if I go again to this Taco Bell or McDonald's down here, a franchise, their main money comes from sales. The owner of that franchise makes money off of sales, not all the other franchisees that they've talked into buying Taco Bells. So is it honest to say that you are your own boss? No. You have a boss or an upline, they call them. You have guidelines whether you like them or not. You're not the boss. Now, what about the rewards? I've heard some nice and fancy rewards. There was one that I had a relative tell me about, and I've seen this a lot, where you're going to go on a trip. They're going to buy a whole trip for you. If you sell this much and you recruit this many, we'll send you on a free trip. Brother Gunnels, you'll like this. You want to know how they record those free trips? Number one, they might not actually be free. You might just qualify to purchase and attend this trip. So all that money may still be coming out of your pocket. Number two, if they do pay for anything, they report that as taxable income. You're a 1099 employee. That's taxable income. And there have been many and many that got in trouble for doing that. And then they say, well, you know, we don't do that. But nonetheless, you look at the report that they give back to you and it's there. But it's free. It's not. So there's that. How about this one? How about the ones that give away big fancy cars? Right? Those are big. Right now, Australia's got an influx of one right now that is offering and saying, we'll give you cars. That's not how that works either. The way the whole car structure sets up is that we'll give you, let's say, $500. One bigger company gives you $500. Into your bank account for you to go lease a vehicle or get the loan for the vehicle, and they'll give you $500. And as long as your sales quota and your under support is the numbers where it should be, they'll continue to give you that money. But guess what happens when there's a problem in your downline or you don't hit sales quota? That check's not there. So is that giving you a car? No, they're giving you money towards your payment. Now, some as you level up, they may actually let you pick out a car, they'll send you the car, but there's still some kind of money that's due. If ever you drop out of the industry, if ever you don't hit your sales quota, you still have to make up the rest of it. So if I were involved, let's say, in my coffee mug, one of Sister Glenda's doing really, really well, and I send her, I don't know, whatever fancy car out there, would sit there and show, hey, selling my mugs will be good for you. And she sits there, she looks at this, she goes, Brother Owen, listen, I've run out of money to pay to stay into this business, which, by the way, happens to a lot of people. They run out of money to participate in these things, which, by the way, if you're thinking you're making money in there, we'll talk about that in a little bit. But for the most part, people run out of money to participate. It's a very play-to-play game and not in a way that a regular business has to. So she's looking at it, she goes, Brother Owen, it's just not financially feasible for me to do this. Well, I could very well hit her with a bill for the rest of that vehicle. And she'd be on the hook for the rest of that vehicle. And now, again, I've asked people that I know of, people that Danielle and I may be aware of, or people that we've known through different churches, and I've asked them to take a look at their contract. that they sign when they get that car. And guess what's in there every single time? Now, the problem is that they, much like the rest of us, don't pay attention to the terms and conditions of use. Free car. There's no such thing. Right, so the rewards themselves are dubious at best. The income primarily comes from bonuses. Now, is it a bonus when that money comes from my friends? It's not. It's not a bonus. What is it? It's a cut of the pie. Cut of whose pie? Cut of the money that they're giving. So again, if Sister Glenda, she's got to sell, let's say, $5,000 worth of mugs a year to stay in the business. But I'm paying her for every sale that the people underneath her do. Right? You follow me? Most of that money, eventually, depending on how many people she recruits, is going to be from recruitment. Why? Because how many mugs are you going to sell? Now, when I rented apartments, every now and then I'd work for a group that would say, hey, listen, we'll give you X amount of dollars for every apartment you sell or you rent. So that would be my commission. I gave you a thing and I made commission off of that. When you make commission, you're not making commission off of your sales. Your sales are your profit. You buy at X amount, or they buy off the website and you get X amount back. The commissions are from people below you selling. And not just selling, but also recruiting. I made a point earlier where what you're doing is you're purchasing the right to sell. And that's really all you're purchasing. When you buy this stuff, let's say I, again, pay $10,000 to buy $20,000 worth of mugs. Right? She gets, if I'm selling underneath her, she gets a cut of that. That's not a bonus. That's a cut of the money that somebody else invested to sell the rights. What does that sound like when we're investing money and the people above get some of that investment? Well, that's a pyramid-shaped scheme, isn't it? Now, again, if I'm selling a product, she's selling mugs, and the main source of income is just the mugs, and she brings her friend, and I say, sister, that's fantastic. Here's $700. Or, you know what? I'm going to cut your next two bills in half. What is it? That's a thank you. That's a bonus. When you continue to get money based off of somebody else's investment, that's a pyramid scheme. And I'll tell you what, so often when you talk to these people, it's not a pyramid scheme. I've done business in a lot of different sectors. I've never once been trained to tell somebody I'm not in a pyramid scheme. Could you imagine that? Somebody walks in the door asking for an apartment. I just want to let you know, this isn't a pyramid scheme. Brother Art goes and he gives somebody a peacock. They give him money. I just want to let you guys know, this isn't a pyramid scheme. We wouldn't do that. Typically, if you have to come out and put that as part of your pitch, that's what you've got. So again, if most of the money comes through the investments of others, that's what you have. So you don't own the business. The rewards are lies. Even the bonuses aren't what they say they are. Now, another thing that they'll say is that you can make a living wage just off of sales. But here's the problem. Typically what you're selling, people don't want to buy a lot of. Now, I'll be honest with you. I've bought some products. And my mom, she was a big one into purchasing some products from Avon. There was some Avon stuff I liked. I'll tell you what, there's some people, they've been selling, so they sell stuff. I like it. No big deal with it. If you purchase stuff from it and you like it, this is not to make you feel guilty. They sell some good stuff sometimes, right? I don't normally like fundraisers, but I like those little Caesar's pizza kits too, right? I've often said that. Don't come around here selling anything unless it's Girl Scout cookies and pizza kits. Bring them in. One person said, Matt, can I? I got, you're my Sunday school teacher. Can I? No, do not bring that into the Sunday school class. Just put me down for two of those. They sell good stuff. But I tell you what, there's only so many pizza kits you can buy. There's only so many of those tubes of lipsticks or those kind of pants or dresses or mystery powders or oils you can purchase without breaking the bank. And there's only so much you can sell. Right? Well, you can do that. Now, here's the thing. If I've done my due diligence and listened to my person who's over me, not my boss, of course, but my upline, telling me you got to recruit, and I reach over and I say, hey, listen, brother Bill, I need you to get in on this mug business with me. And he goes, oh, that's the pastor. What am I supposed to do? All right, brother. All right. Now he's selling mugs. And Brother Tim hears us talking, and he goes, nobody ever invites me, so we invite him. Now he's selling mugs. Again, eventually, you guys are going to get sick and tired of seeing my mugs. Just the truth. There's only so many little pamphlets and website things and business cards you can put at the back of a ladies' fellowship before people stop looking at them. You can't do it. As a matter of fact, there have been three U.S.-funded researchers that are researchers that have come out to say that 99% of people who are in multi-level marketing or network marketing deals do not make a dime. Now, here's what most of them will tell you. I get a paycheck all the time. Now, here's where, again, I'm not a financial expert by any stretch of the imagination, but there is a difference between net income and gross income. If I sell $5,000 worth of products that I purchased, I did not make a $5,000 profit. Now, if I sell $5,000 worth of product and I sold I bought it at $2,000, that's nice. That's some money. But if I also threw a bunch of parties and I did a bunch of things to promote myself, and I went online and I bought this, those are called business expenses, and they eat up everything. Right? It's ridiculous. There was a point where I was sitting there doing all the math for one of our properties. The last one I worked at, I'm doing all the math and all the stuff that goes everywhere. And after all those years of griping and complaining about not having parts as a maintenance guy, and all those years of griping and whining that there was no funding for advertising as a salesperson, as the manager, I sat there, I'm like, how are we making any money? Because I would sit there, I would do the math. Well, this is very easy. We make $2 million every year. Why can't I have whatever I want as far as sales go? Why can't I have whatever I want as far as parts go? It makes the business go. And that's the mindset. Just because there's checks coming in every month, it makes you think there's profit. But what you're really doing is you're maxing out credit cards to stay in the game. If I have to make a $500 sales quota to stay in the mug selling business, right? And you're running out, but you've got a great big check coming from all of your recruiting, you're going to put some money on the credit card. And that's what most of the folks do. And what they do is they run out of credit. They run out of buying power. And the amount that they owe becomes much more than they're going to get paid. And they begin to get disillusioned by the process, discouraged by the process. And before you know it, they get out. Now, 99% is not a talking number. It is a research number by those that do business and research into such things. 99% don't make money. As a matter of fact, most of those in there will lose a substantial amount of money, because again, what you're purchasing is the buying rights or the selling rights. You're purchasing the selling rights into this company. So is it true to say that there are great financial rewards in here? Not that many of the people that I know and love have seen. Now also you have to consider this, and we'll get into the Bible part here soon, I promise. But there are some other things in here, like the titles that they give you. Right, as a one-day trained, newly hired Cutco representative, I was a kitchen utensil expert. I was 19 years old, reached the level of expert in only 2 days of training. Now, what was that training? Was that training on how to put a knife together? No. Was that training on metallurgy or whatever it is, putting a blade together? Was smithing anything like that? Could I make you a knife? Could I tell you one knife from the other? Nope, but I was a experts. Or there are some out there, they are fitness coaches, and they look no more fit than I do. Well, do you know about sports medicine? No, but I tell you what, if you're into sports, we've got this package. That's the training, by the way. They train how to fit the powder, or the oil, or the makeup, or the pants, or the insurance, or the whatever, into your lifestyle. Right? They're trained to take a word you say, flip it and jam it down your throat. That's the training. They're not trained coaches. They're not trained in the medical field. They're not trained in anything that they're supposed to say that they're an expert in. So the titles that are made up, well, why do we make up titles? One, Because if I am a coffeeologist, it doesn't matter if I just sell mugs. You automatically think that I've got more power than I do. I've got more knowledge than I do. And also, guess who else feels really, really good about selling the coffee mugs? Me. Because you called me a coffeeologist. Right? And I've got a high school education, and I'm an ologist all of a sudden. And you know what? We sit there and we think, well, brother, I'm smarter than that. Most of the people I know are smarter than that. You know what? We are smarter than that, but don't it still feel good every now and then to be called an expert in something? Gets the best of us. It really does. Now, we may sit there and say, well, I would never use a title like that, and I would never buy into that, but hey, sometimes the flesh does what the flesh does. So the titles are dubious at best. Those people out there who with no study, no biology, are able to sit there and tell you that your doctor has no idea what they're doing because they trained at a 45-minute seminar on what best of these powders will help you heal you. It's, again, not to be mean, I'm trying to be nice, it's a ridiculous notion that because I can sell a product, that makes me an expert at it. Right, when we were selling our house, I have years in the housing industry. I talked to Brett, and Brett goes, well, I'm going to be as respectful as possible. I go, Brett, no, you don't, because I've got no idea. The truth. Well, you know apartments. Yeah, I know apartments. I don't know how to sell or buy a house. I'm like, I got the idea. This one's nice. I know how to do the personal finances portion of it. But you get me in front of some of that paperwork, somebody could take advantage of me. It's easy for us to sit there and say, because you tell me I've got knowledge, I've got knowledge. And what happens? We make a mess of things. So the titles, again, dubious at best. And by the way, we could call these lies, can't we? They're not untruths. They're not half-truths. They're not spins. They're not putting things in a better light. They're not highlighting the good and shadowing the negative. They're lies. It's not my business. I'm not a healthcare professional. I'm not a knife expert. This isn't a car you've purchased for me. None of those things are there. Now, what does the Bible say about lying, by the way? Exodus 20, verse 16. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. 1 Thessalonians 2, 5. For neither at any time use we flattering words. Hey, boss babe. Hey. You're a man, right? You can sell. Flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness. Hey, look at this house I bought because I sell leggings good. Hey, come over here and take a look. I sell all these powders, all of these shakes. Come take a look at my brand new car. Hashtag thanks to this business, right? Nor covetousness, God is witness. Proverbs 20:17, bread of deceit is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth shall be filled with gravel. Oh, I can make how much? As much as I want? That's what I was told, by the way, at Cutco. I can make as much money as I want. You ever tell an 18, 19-year-old kid they can make as much money as they want? You know what their brain does? All of it. For exactly half an hour before I talked to my friend, I was going to be the kingpin of selling houseware knives. It'd be amazing. Oh, they sound sweet. But I tell you what, after a while, when my friends, relatives, neighbors, church members stopped wanting to put up with me coming around selling my paring knives, it would have been gravel in my mouth. When my person I'm talking to says, listen, we can handle this real fast. Just take out a credit card in your name and make up your sales numbers. And when you get your bonus check, pay that off and you're good. And then when you go to pay that off, you realize that because I'm using my paycheck to pay that off, now I don't have enough money for food, water, clothing. So now I'm going to use my credit card again. And it's a debt shovel. Right? Gravel in the mouth. I saw that verse, I thought, see, that fits perfectly because you're going to have to eat a lot of dirt. You're not going to make any money. Job 27:4, my lips shall not speak wickedness, nor my tongue utter deceit. Another question we would ask ourselves as to whether or not there's any inherent sin in this product is, does this business take advantage of others? Well, I did just say 99% of people don't make money. If I have to say, hey, Sister Glenda, I want to make some money, and I know 99% of people that I've talked to and most of the people that I've talked to in my meetings bail out because they can't afford it, is that kind of taking advantage of my friends and family when I try to get them in? Also, I know that if they say yes or no, it affects my bottom line. Yeah. Now, again, if I'm just straight selling mugs and I find out that somebody needs a job and I go to them and say, hey, listen, I've got a job open. Will you come work with me? Completely different thing, right? If I can hire somebody in, that would help. But I've done that for fellow church members. Fellow church members have done that for me. They got me hired or helped me get hired into a business. That's fine. Why? Because it's a guaranteed income for me, provided I don't mess up. And it doesn't affect them one way or the other than it gives them some help. Whereas if you working the business directly puts money in my bank account, I need you because I need to make money off of you. Does that make sense? It's a completely different thing. Completely different thing. And if I know full and well that you're probably going to end up having to go into debt for me to make money, it's a different thing. I will buy into small businesses, legitimate small businesses for my friends, family, and local church members. I will do that 100% of the time if I can. But I will not enter into a position where somebody is forced to go into debt to help or benefit me. All right, so again, that's a little bit predatory there. Now, when we talk of the word predatory, they do aim it towards young people. What's that? You just graduated high school? What's that? You're just getting into college? Hey, let me talk to you for a second about this fantastic life-altering opportunity. And there have been some. They make a little bit of money off of their Instagram. They make a little bit of like selling things on their Facebook. And Bob's your uncle, Fanny's your aunt. They quit college to sell whatever. And then after a while, they go into debt, have to go back into college, and that was the longest furlough and the worst furlough anybody could have ever had. They also target the financially struggling. If you really don't have the money, well, I guess it won't work. It's kind of a protect in that way. But if there's any way possible, and they'll talk to you like this, you know what, I really don't have the money to invest in that. Oh, is there no one you could borrow the money from? Is there no one? Now listen, I wouldn't sit there and say, hey, let's go open a Jimmy John's franchise. And you need to go borrow some money. No, if you ain't got it, and you can't maybe borrow it in a reputable way, you gotta go hit up some relatives. You gotta go sell a kidney or something. That's not the kind of, you're not ready to go into that kind of business, right? There's a reason why I don't have one right now. You don't have it. Don't. All right, but see if you can't borrow some. Take out a credit card, do this, do that, and they'll kind of push in that way. And if you're financially struggling just enough, but not too much that you can get into the business, you are gold. They love you. Mothers are a good one. They'll pitch with that. It's the perfect opportunity. You can stay at home. They tug at the heartstrings for that, which again is why I do not fault people that have participated in it and why I continue to love and respect those in my family and relatives that do it. Because it sounds amazing, but it's not. They also target the religious. Why? Because we got friends. We've got people we hang around. And also because we're used to talking to people about uncomfortable subjects. And that is one of the reasons why I brought this in. Because we are prone to buy into this because it ticks off all of our moral quandaries on things. It looks good. It flies under the radar. And it serves a need for how I can be a good Christian mom or a good Christian and still make money. As a matter of fact, the first MLM in record was Nutrilife. The second was Amway. Amway advertised itself as God's way of doing business. Now you find a business plan where one person can make money off of another person in the Bible. That is blasphemy. And ever since then, and by the way, the people who started that industry were not only sued several times for pyramid scheme-y type things, but they're also part of the prosperity gospel, which is why there's a lot of faith manipulation in these meetings and these conversations. Well, you just have to have more faith. Trust God. You know, maybe I want to trust God in everything I do. We should trust God in everything we do. But I tell you what, if I can't sell enough mystery shakes or leggings or whatever have you, I can't sit there and blame my faith for that. You understand? Can. No more than I can blame my health or my bank account on my level of faith. If I am in pure obedience, that is my faith in action. But it is not, well, you know, God will give you X amount of dollars in sales if you're faithful to Him. No, I know this, that if I don't do right by God in my job, He's going to bring some reproach on it. He'll bless as He sees fit, and He'll punish as He sees fit, but under no circumstances can I tug at the heartstring of God or rub Him like a magic lamp to get what I want out of Him. And by the way, this has become a bad look for us. And that gets me to my last and final part. What happens when I bring it into the church? Proverbs 17 verse 1 says, "Better is a dry morsel and quietness therewith than a house full of sacrifices with strife." If every time you walked in here, I came over to you and I hit you up for my coffee mug selling business, what conclusion might you come to being here? I don't want to go there. Oh, every time that preacher, every time I go in there, he's going to hit me up for this business. Let's say we're at the Bible conference. We got our conference coming up, and I've got our conference, and everybody who comes to the conference in their welcome packet gets a little card from me pointing them to my coffee mug selling business. And somebody picks up that card, and they're in need, and they buy into it. I'm preaching now. I wasn't supposed to do this. And they pick that up, and they give me a call. And they find out the last $700 they've got in their savings account could go to start them into this business. And a month, 2 years later, they're $30,000 in debt. Because all they did is dig it out with a shovel and dig it out with a shovel and dig it out with a shovel. And they don't have a house and they don't have food and they don't have the ability to put gas in their car and their kids need things that they can't get them. But I tell you what, they know that if they stop buying or they stop selling, they're going to be in trouble. And they remember that preacher that told them they were nothing if they didn't do it. Told them that they weren't salesmen. Told them that they weren't men. That they weren't good women. That they weren't good mothers. That they weren't good Christians if they didn't continue to sell. What conclusion might they draw of God? And by the way, that is what many people who've been caught up in it, because some dear, sweet man and woman of Christ took them out to lunch and instead of giving them the gospel, gave them a marketing pitch. They left that church, never came back. See, when we bring it in, and again, I've got it because again, there are people I love and there's people you love. This sort of thing is like a wolf. You ever meet those people? They've got crazy pets. Not like cool ones like your guys', but like wolves or like venomous snakes or something. And they sit there and they say, "We've had them our whole life. We've had wild wolves every day of our lives and nothing bad has ever happened." And then they bring it out in public and that thing goes crazy and kills somebody. That's kind of what this is. I've known people that could participate in this, and they participated in this stuff for years. Nothing bad ever happened. They always sold. They always tried to be diligent and godly in the things that they did. But in the process of recruiting, "Well, how is it that you guys are doing good?" "Well, I'll tell you this. We'll do that. And I don't really recruit a lot because, you know, it doesn't seem right to me. But here's this." And then that person gets into it and they fall into it. We bring it into the church. We bring it into the ladies' fellowships. We bring it into the men's fellowships. Right, I think the ladies got theirs and the men's got theirs. I've looked into some of this crypto stuff, and a lot of it is built like that. Now, you can correct me if I'm wrong on this. I haven't taken too good of a look at it, but there's some MLM-type structures in some of this crypto stuff. Got to be careful. Right? Again, if I make more money off of what people are buying into than I am what I'm actually producing or selling, that's a problem. That's a pyramid scheme. You bring that stuff into a church, and there can be problems. It confuses what a church is supposed to be. If a new person comes in and I'm two people below quota, there is that temptation inside of me to reach out to that new person and hit him up for my business. Oh yeah, and maybe we'll also hit him up for Christ too. You understand that you can't mix them. You can't. And at the same time, it's a repugnant thing to do. Our main function is what? The Great Commission. Matthew 28:19. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." Sales pitches begin to replace stewardship. But Romans 14, verse 19, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. I can't edify you by digging you into debt. I can't edify you by making money off of you. I can't do that. Romans 13, 10, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And above all, I mean, all these things are horrid, but above all, 1 Timothy 3:6, this misrepresents Christ. We see that here in 1 Timothy 3:6, this is the qualification of a pastor, and we've all long said that this needs to be everyone's qualifications, right? It just means you can't get to be a pastor unless you benefit, unless you are these things. But not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Now, brother, how could this possibly bring a reproach if nobody gets hurt? There's a way to do this business without anybody. 99% of people are going to get hurt. 99% of people are going to get hurt. Number two, if you've got internet at home, here's your homework. I want you to Google two words for me. Christians, MLMs. Do it. And what you'll find is that many of us, through the pushing of these things, have fueled atheism's argument against us. Because it's awful to go into a church and, oh, what's that? You've got this disease or that. You've got cancer. What's that? You're overweight. What's that? You're having a hard time finding clothing to wear. What's that? You're this. What's that? You're that. Let me give you everything right here. Pick up this. You've got some financial troubles? Well, I've got a financial opportunity for you. That's not Bible. It's not. Right? If we're talking about trouble in the family, the answer is not a concoction of blended oils diffused into the air. That we need to look for the sin. We need to look for the communication problems. We need to look for the proper application of Scripture. We need the Bible. We need the Word of God for these things. And that's not what many of us have done. Now again, I'll honestly put this out here that as your pastor, I don't know if you've experienced it, and Brother Hugan wouldn't allow it back at our church. As a matter of fact, he was the brother who pulled me aside and said, hey, before you get to selling knives, let me tell you something. Said, pastor, here's the weirdest thing. I just want to tell you about an answered prayer request I had. And he said, oh, Matt. I was grateful for that. You know what? I'll be honest with you. I felt just a little bit stupid. I did. But you know what? The truth is the truth. You know, there's a lot of things we can stumble into accidentally. There's a lot of things we can be around. It doesn't mean we lose respect. It does not mean that we tear down dignity. We maintain those things for the people we love. But there's a real danger to these things. And I'll just say this. They don't belong at home church. And if they need to belong in home church, I can't. Right? And I've never seen it. It just can't happen. Right? If your niece is selling Girl Scout cookies, give me two of the ones with the peanut butter in the side, chocolate covered ones, Thin Mints. If you've got a fundraiser and you, but let's leave that at the door. Leave that at the door. Right? If we've got a groundbreaking financial opportunity, and all I've got to do is continue to pay money so that you can make money. No, thank you. Now again, if we've got legitimate business opportunities where what you see is what you get, right? Go work for Brother Gunnels. I don't know if you're hiring or not, but that's a legitimate business. If we've got members in the church, they've got small businesses. I'll support those as much as I can, right? Brother, I'll just tell you this. I'm not going to Hire any electrician other than you if you'll do the work. If I buy a peacock, brother, it's come. Flowers, go over there. But under no circumstances will I enter into a pyramid scheme, nor should one be in the church. Just it shouldn't. It's not how we ought to represent the Lord. Now here's what I'm going to do to all those that do participate in that. I will love them. I will cherish them. I'll do all those things those verses say. Why? Because why? Why would you get ugly? Why would you get mean about something like that? If you think someone's making a mistake, this is an inherent sin unless they're the one telling the lies. Unless they're the ones actively deceiving people. And I've talked to people. I grew up in it. Most of the folks in it, they've got no idea they're in this. They've got no idea this is going around them because, again, the psychological manipulation is on point. It is beautiful. It is the highest caliber you can find, right? It's deplorable, but you get wrapped up in this, right? I hinted at this on Sunday. If you've got to call something not what it is just to get people to buy it, there's a problem. This isn't a pyramid scheme. It's multi-level marketing, and then multi-level marketing it's network marketing. It's not. It's business to say. It's regular sales. Yeah, but how much do you get for recruiting me? It doesn't matter. If you've got to change the name of something to sell it, it's a lie. All right, so I'll wrap up there. But no, we love. I will continue to love my friends, family members, fellow children of God that are in it. But it's not something I think we should participate in. I think it's dangerous. I think it's predatory. I think it's financially unstable. And I think that the people who run the things know it. I think they know that what they're... Because again, if I buy a package to get into the business, they've sold whatever that package is. And they don't care if I ever buy again. They just made $5,000. They don't care. One time sales, non-time sales, it's pretty good for selling leggings. One-time sales, all-time sales, it's pretty good for selling whatever it is. So, again, we want to make sure that we're being wise in our practices. Let's pray.